We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the words he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
Life lessons from Joseph. Amen. It's a new teaching. Amen. I thought I was going to get that. Was a good place to shout there. All right, life lessons from Joseph all through the month of March on Sundays. We'll be going through that and others in what we call our Dream and Destiny series. Hallelujah. All right, life lessons from the life of Joseph. This will change your life forever. This will bless you. Trust me on that. Hallelujah. Very quickly, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Let me give a background to the teaching to help us receive what the Lord has prepared for the month. Very quickly. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I read that again, that ye be not slothful. If your Bibles are not open yet, you can look up on the screen. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Don't be slothful. That means being lazy, not being slow. I believe I've said this here before. Laziness is something that both God and Satan agreed together that they don't need. Come on now. Do I have somebody who agrees with what I just said? That means when you are lazy, you are also useless to Satan. So even if you want to cross over to the other side, you are useless. Hallelujah. It's something that both God and Satan agrees that, look, we don't need lazy people. If there's any place of agreement between God and Satan, it's slothfulness. Hallelujah. All right, it says, not being slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. All right, let's quickly go to the same Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. Remembering them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Listen, brothers and sisters, a major way we fuel our passion for success and boost our hunger to fulfill our God-given destiny is by reading and hearing the stories of men who have walked the same path. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Have you noticed that every time you study the biography of very successful people, there is an unusual inspiration that sometimes you may not even get if you read a principle book? You read 10 steps to making success with your life. You get inspired, you learn principles. But there's something that happens when you read a story of someone who became very successful against all odds. You know why? Exposing your mind to the stories of people that have gone the same path of success, the same path of fulfilling destiny, has a way of, number one, trivializing the odds against you. You begin to see in a very unusual way how that what you think is going to stop you is not as big as you thought. Is somebody here this morning? It has an unusual way of communicating the principles of success to you. No wonder Jesus communicated kingdom principles through stories and parables. Amazing, reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then the writings of John, you will see how that Jesus many times communicated powerful kingdom principles through stories, through parables. I've noticed this myself. Whether I'm studying a character in the Bible, and by the way, if you've been here for a while, you know that we've done lessons from David. That should be 2 or 3 years ago. Lessons from David. We did lessons from the patriarchs. And we just took Abraham and Isaac and Jacob together. Hallelujah. I'm doing lessons from David, live lessons from David. It has an unusual. So I want you to open your heart. It's like watching a movie. I don't know how God did it, but there's something about going through people's story and picking things from them that has a way of boosting our hunger and driving and fueling our passion to succeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody here? All right, what is it about Joseph? You now understand why we had to read that. He said, being followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. There's nothing wrong with reading someone, either a biography or a Bible character, get inspired for success. All right, he says, being followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You can't follow people you don't know. Amen. You can't follow people you have not read about or you have not heard about. So we'll be going through from Genesis 37, going through the life of Joseph and picking out life lessons that will help us fulfill our destiny on earth, that will help us go in the path of God's vision for our lives. T.L. Osborne says success is finding what God wants and doing it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And one of the things you see in this series is having a dream and vision is beyond just saying, oh, I have a dream. Oh, there's this thing I want to do. It's something that hooks you. It's something that gets a hold of your spirit that you can't get off your mind. We'll get into discussing the dynamics. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. All right, so who was Joseph? Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who is the patriarch of the current day Israelis. All right, in the Bible days we call them Israelites. So he was the 11th son and a very beloved son of his father. The name Joseph is the Hebrew Yosef, which means Jehovah has added. It means to add, it means increase. Hallelujah. I was the first child of Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob. And from Genesis 37 we begin to see God introducing this personality called Joseph, who is a type of Christ. A type of Christ. In fact, it makes it more interesting to study the life of this man and to pull out lessons, valuable lessons, life lessons from the life of Joseph. He was a type of Christ and a type of the church at the same time. Hallelujah. In fact, we can draw out at least 20 similarities between Joseph and Jesus. So we can simply say he was a type of Christ. That makes his life very interesting to study. He was the beloved of his father. Jesus was the beloved of his father. Hated by his brothers, meaning he came unto his own and his own received him not. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces. Hallelujah. He was betrayed by his brother. Jesus was betrayed by his brethren, the Jews. He was sold to the Gentiles, the Midianites, and then from the Midianite to the Ishmaelite, and then to the Egyptian called Potiphar. That's Joseph. Jesus also was sold to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Sold. Somebody say, where? Don't you know that Pontius Pilate was a Gentile? He was handed over to the Gentile. After being sold, Joseph was thrown into a pit. Guess what? Jesus too was thrown into a pit. They removed his clothes, stripped him of his garments. They also parted the garments of Jesus. Is somebody here? Is somebody here? God sent him to Egypt to prepare a place for his brethren. Oh, Jesus also went to prepare a place for us, so that where he is, we can be also. Remember what he said in St. John's Gospel? He said, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am also, you can be. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, when you read Psalm 107, it says, God sent a man before them to preserve them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joseph in Potiphar's house was lied on, thrown into prison. Jesus, And that dungeon, the Bible calls it dungeon, not just pit or prison. Dungeon. Dungeon. Which is a type of Hades. A type of hell. Jesus also went to hell. Hallelujah. In hell, in the dungeon, I want you to follow this closely. I'm laying a foundation. In the dungeon where Joseph was thrown into, he became a master there. And he interpreted the dream or made a declaration, so to say, to two kinds of persons. The butler and the baker. You remember the story? And we're also told in the gospel, in the epistles, that Jesus in hell also preached to two kinds of people. Joseph preached to the butler that butler was going to be condemned and killed. And no. Restored. The baker was going to be condemned and killed. The butler was going to be restored to the king. The Bible tells us, I believe it's the writings of Peter, the apostles. He says he went there and preached to the Gentiles who died without the sacrifice of Jesus. Who died and lived according to the law of their conscience. And he told them that they shall be restored to the Father. Glory to God. But in Tartarus, he preached to the angels, the fallen angels in chains, telling them about their doom being sealed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is somebody with me? That's the same thing. That's the prophetic shadow. Talking to the butler, restored to the Father, and talking to the baker that his doom was sealed. Glory to God forevermore. He became the head of the whole realm. Head of the whole realm of Egypt. Subject only to Pharaoh. Just like Jesus also became the head of the kingdom of heaven. Subject only to the Father God. Hallelujah. I could go on and on and on and on. Glory to God. Very important. So this is an important man we can study. Alright, so very quickly, Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Sorry, 37, not 49. Genesis 37. We will start from there. Genesis 37 from verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generation of Jacob. And then he began with Joseph. He said, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil reports. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all the children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamt a dream. All right, let me stop at verse 4. Now, let me point this out. Listen. God's model in this end time. I believe it was 2 Tuesdays ago, but I shared part of this with us. God's model for the end time church, God's model of end time revival, what we call end time revival, is a revival that penetrates the marketplaces of life. Did you get what I just said? Very important. God is no longer interested in just a revival inside the church wall, where we sing and dance and cry and jubilate and then go out to the world and nothing happens out there. Is somebody following me? God's model for our generation, according to the scriptures, is a fire being taken to the marketplace, a fire being taken to the mountain of governance and politics, a fire being taken to the mountain of economics and finance, a fire being taken to the mountain of media, entertainment, sport, arts, education. Is somebody following me? Medicine. That is God's model. And this is why we must pay attention to certain people in the Bible. Do you know that Joseph is the type of the believer that God has set to take over the marketplace? Come on now. Remember that our money is not in Goshen, it's in Egypt. Oh. The Bible says Israel dwelt in Goshen, but the wealth was not in Goshen, it was in Egypt. When God was about to take them out, where did they go to get the silver and gold from? In Egypt, not in Goshen. Your money is not inside church. Guess what? It's where the bad people are. Selah. So if you are avoiding confronting the marketplace, if you are avoiding confronting the mountains, you are not ready to fulfill your destiny. I just, that's a shock, right? The money is not in Goshen, it's in Egypt. What was required to position Israel for the next phase was not in Shechem or in Canaan where they lived, it was in Egypt. God had to send the man Joseph to Egypt. And by interplay of prophecy, destiny, supernatural intervention, and his own development as a covenant man, he became the prime minister of that nation. Is somebody following me? He became the prime minister of Egypt. In fact, he told his brothers, his father, that God had made him a father unto Pharaoh. Oh, glory to God. Meaning he was in charge. Pharaoh was just a figurative head. Pharaoh said, no man shall lift a finger except at the word of Joseph. My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. Meaning when the power of God and the favor of God is upon us. Oh, you now see why the Lord is saying this is a month of favor. A month of set time for favor. Do you know a major anointing upon the man Joseph was favor? If I'm just connecting it now. By the force of favor. By the workings of the blessing that was upon him. He became a father unto Pharaoh. This is what God wants. That through his favor upon us, through the anointing of God's Spirit, through our consciousness of the blessing that is upon us. Listen, we will take over places. Listen, when we come with the answers and the solutions and with the anointing, they will not say you're a Christian, they won't give it to you. No, they won't say that. Pharaoh needs an answer for peace. Oh, listen, the pharaohs of these worlds still need answers of peace today. Because they have had dreams that are troubling them. By the Spirit and by the anointing and by the force of the blessing upon us, we will go there and give them interpretations. And as we give them the interpretations, they will have no choice but to empower us to rule their people. Oh, I know somebody is catching what I'm saying this morning. This is God's divine agenda for our generation. We will come with the answer of peace. Listen, the pharaohs of this world are troubled. In all spheres, they are troubled. They have problems in their hands they can't answer. But the Lord is equipping us through his word. The Lord is equipping us by his Spirit. The Lord is equipping us in the place of prayer. The Lord is equipping us from the small places so that when the pharaohs, when we arrive there, we'll have the answer of peace. Oh, when Pharaoh told him his dream, he says, oh Pharaoh, the Lord shall give you an answer of peace. An answer of peace. We are carriers of the answer of peace. Hallelujah. They are talking about unemployment. Who is going to solve it? We. Oh. We have the answer of peace. Joseph's answer of peace was a 14-year agroeconomic plan. Yours may be an ICT plan. Another person's may be education, a model for education. Deep, diverse. Listen, there's no sector in the world today that is not having problems. None. What we've been doing for many years as believers is we look at the problem, we talk and complain, we come and clap hands in church on Sunday morning and pray to God to come and carry us home. You know what that is called? Escapism. Escapism, right? That's what it's called. Ah, somebody said, ah, Kai, the word is finishing. Jane, the word is finishing very soon. Oh. See the election. The word is finishing very soon. Be there. The word is not finishing very soon. You better rise up and make a difference. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, God wants us to be conscious. Jesus wants us to be conscious of his second coming. But that consciousness should birth a passion to establish his kingdom on the earth. That consciousness must birth a sense of urgency to carry the gospel to the nations. It's not to wait. No. It's not to wait and do nothing. No. There must be a sense of passion, urgency to take his kingdom, establish his kingdom in different places. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Very unusual man called Joseph. Alright, so he began like this. The Bible says he was 17 years old in verse 2. That's the first lesson there. He was 17 years old. Put up verse 2 for me. He said, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Listen, the ultimate dream was not to feed flock, but he had to start from somewhere. That is the first lesson. That mega dreams come to people who are already diligently adding value at a level. Write it down. This is very important. That the mega dream, the mega vision from God comes to people who are already what? Diligently adding value. Have you noticed that God calls busy people? Write that down first. I said, that's the first lesson. That's the first lesson from Joseph. That mega dreams come to those who are already adding value at a level. It is deception to be waiting for the heavens to open for you to have a 10-hour vision about what your life is about before you step out to do remarkable things with your life. It's an error. The Bible says Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding his father's flocks, and he had the managerial. Now, hope you know that apart from the Bible, we have historical record by Jewish scholars about these patriarchs. When you study the things that some of those historical records say about Joseph, you'll be impressed. In fact, some of them say that at 17, Joseph had an unusual managerial and leadership skill that his father made him the leader over his farm, over his animal farm. What do you call it? Over his animal husbandry. And that was part of what envied his brothers. They couldn't take the fact that he had to manage Jacob's resources. So they did those things that he had to report. Are you listening to me? At 17, he was busy before he had a dream. You must live by the principle of whatsoever the hand finds to do, do it with all thy strength. Do it diligently. God calls busy people. It is a waste of time to say, God has called me to preach. Why is pastor not giving me mic to preach? It's a waste of time. And then you are going, there are people who are going from place to place, giving people card. Now you know God has called me to be a prophet unto the nations. In case you have a space in your fellowship, I can come and bless you people. We are not saying God did not call you, but that is not how to go about it. That is not how to go about it. The vision, the dream was to be a leader of a nation. But he was feeding the flock. He was tending the flock. He was managing his father's estate at that level. And of course, Obi, you know, he didn't start by managing it. He must have shown a level of diligence, of wisdom, of responsibility before that was committed to his hands. He didn't just arrive at his brethren, his father, and his mother bowing to him. No, there was a pathway he followed. Hallelujah. Big dreams, mega dreams come to people who are already adding value where they are. God engages busy people. Abraham was busy when God called him. Isaac was too. Jacob was too. They were not idle. What about Samuel? He was serving in the temple before God called him. He wasn't playing video games when God called him. The opposite, he was sleeping close to the ark. He was ministering in the temple when Eli was the high priest. Is somebody here? What about David? Was he busy or not? He was so busy that when they were there to anoint, he wasn't available. But watch this. When you are diligent doing what you are supposed to do, if it takes the whole world to stand still for what you need to come to you to happen. So it's not about when you tell some people serve, they talk, you know. Have you heard people, especially music minister, talk about being tied down? I love it Chinese. Tied down. That God called you to the music ministry. You are serving in the local church. You say you are tied down. Are you serious? Listen, let me ask you a question. Who anoints? Is it man or God? You think God does not know your location? Yeah. David was not around when they were supposed to anoint. He wasn't there. He was at the place of service. But everybody stood. God instructed that nobody should sit until he comes. Listen, when it's time for you to spring out, you will spring out from the place of service. If you are trying to arrange and organize it, you will struggle for long. Are you listening to me? If you are not tied down in the place of service, forget about it. Forget about the big visions. Forget about the big vision. Forget about what God is showing you. Let me tell you, service is the shortest cut to greatness. Shortest cut to greatness. If you are busy in the place of service, serving God, serving man, at your current level, your eyes will soon open. The place of service is the place of eye opening. The place of service is the place where dreams come. Are you listening to me? Too many examples in the Bible of people who were busy adding value and then God interrupted them and showed them something more to do. Show them something more to do. Show them something more to do. Time spent serving and adding value is never time wasted. I say that again. Time spent serving, time spent adding value. You may be a secretary in a company, and that is in a startup company, and that is what you've got right now. That is where you are. And there is an opportunity to add value. Add value. Add value. Don't just resign because you read from a book how to be your own CEO. Let me tell you, those motivational things are causing trouble. Hello? We will not all be CEOs of companies. But we'll be CEOs of our destinies. Did you get that? We'll not all be CEOs of our companies, but the most important thing is you are a CEO of your destiny and of God's vision for your life. God's vision for your life may be to be a co-founder of a company, maybe to be a lecturer, a professor, and not running a business, maybe to be a researcher. Are you listening to me? The most important thing is to be the chief execution officer of that destiny. But not running off from the place of service to pursue an ambition. You will waste your time. Hallelujah. That's the first lesson. He was tending his father's flock at 17. And here comes the big dream. When you are doing the thing, like T. Jake says, it may not be the thing, but it may be the thing that leads to the thing. Is somebody here? But listen, for it to lead to the thing, you must be diligent in doing it. Can I get an amen? You must be what? Diligent in doing it. Mega dreams come to people who are already adding value. Number two lesson. The first one was so fast. Lesson number two. We'll just do three today. Seeing something, lesson number two is to see something big, to always see something bigger than you and better than your now. Write that down. That's what is called a dream. To see something bigger. Okay, can I write it away? That destiny answers to seeing something bigger than you and better than your now. Put up a tree of that 37 for me. Genesis 37. Destiny answers to seeing something bigger than you. The question is, what are you seeing right now? The problem is not where you are right now. Or the story is not where you are right now. You may be in a very good place right now. A place of success where you have some millions in your account. You have some cars to drive. You are doing some great stuff. But that's not the end of the story. Or maybe you are at the other side where nothing is as though nothing is working yet. It's as though when you pray and receive prophecy and you go home, the opposite happens. Come on now. It's as though your life is not about anything serious. And you are wondering, dear Lord, can something come out of my life? The problem or the story is not where you are at right now. The story is about what you can see that is bigger than you. And let me add this quickly. If what you are seeing is something you think you can calculate to accomplish, that is not a vision from God. Listen, God will always give you a dream and a vision that will require you submitting to Him for it to happen. So it must look so bigger than you that you have to run to God. It must demand your allegiance, your submission, your partnership with God for accomplishment. Are you listening to me? In fact, a major way to differentiate between vision from God and a man's ambition is what I just told you. Ambition is within the ambit of your human efforts. Ambition will always fall within the coverage of your human energy. Ambition will always fall within the doings, what your human strength can do, what your natural advantage can do. You look at your uncle here, you look at your dad, you look at that your classmate, you look at what you have in investment, you can say, we can do this. That is not a vision from God. If it's from God, a major thing that will happen is every time you think about it, in the natural, your mind will cut. In Nigerian parlance, you know what I mean by your mind will cut? Say, bros, my mind cut. Glory to God. Did you get that? Every time you look at it, you know it will take a higher power for it to be accomplished. That's a vision from God. That's a vision from God. That's a dream from God. It's more than saying, I have a dream. No, it's more than that. Everybody can wake up and say, I have a dream. That one day I'll be the governor of this. Everybody can say that. But you see, when we look at you, Kalabaya, you know, the first thing I said is, it looks so big that your human energy cannot accomplish it. The second thing is, vision will always include others. Every time there's a dream of vision from God, you are able to see how it benefits the collective. I say that again. You will always see how it benefits the collective. An ambition hires your family. So when you see somebody trying to have a good life for him and for himself and his family, for her and her family, that's not a dream from God. Dreams from God are big. They look impossible. I want to challenge someone this morning. Get a dream from God. If you have already, fix your gaze on it. Challenging, intimidating. And guess what? God will give you a dream at 50. Oh. God will give you new visions at 60. Meaning, age does not intimidate God in giving you vision. For some people that think, oh, vision, this vision and dreams. And say, Pastor, I'm already 50. Pastor, I'm already 55. can I get something fresh from the Lord to pursue? Yes. Don't forget that Moses started at 80. Moses began his ministry at 80. He wanted to step into, he had the zeal. He was ambitious. And went out trying to save the people by the energy of the flesh. He got hooked and had to run away. And guess what? At 80, God visited him again. And he had, that's the word of the Lord to someone this morning. At 80, God gave Moses a vision of being a savior to his people. At 80, you are not old. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the second thing about a vision from God. The third thing is, any vision and dream from God will haunt you. Let me put it this way. It will hook you from within. How do I explain it? See, you will stand here and clearly see a way out. I mean, clearly see an easy way out. Any attempt to follow the easy way out, you'll be dissatisfied. Listen, every vision from God will take over your life in such a way that people who don't understand how God operates will think you are stupid. You hear what I said? Vision from God. Listen, when you start pursuing a dream from heaven, you no longer play safe. All the playing safe is for average guys, average men and women. All the play safe. Somebody say, Bobby, you know what it means to be on salary? Your life is stable. Amen. Listen, when you get to the realm of vision, you may be your vision and dream may be in the line of salaried income, so to say, at the beginning, but you don't live by it. If I let me shock you, there's no salary any human, any government can pay you that will finance the dream that God will give you. Quote me anywhere. It can't. It will hook you. What we call the dream from God is the kingdom of God within you. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, right? Oh, is it 33 or 36? 33. It says, seek ye first. That's 30 what? You think I did not know? All right. Glory to God. He says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, let me tell you this. Every scripture you see is like a mountain. When you can climb it from different sides, and your view is different when you are climbing. I also liken it to like onions. Revelation from God is like every scripture, every verse of the Bible is like onion layers. You peel and peel and peel and peel. Is somebody with me? So when we say seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added, we can use it to teach commitment to preaching the gospel. Amen. We can use it to teach commitment to church, which is wonderful. One of the things that this verse of scripture is saying is, listen, when we were not mass produced, Kai, am I talking to church this morning? We were not mass produced. We were carefully crafted by God. This is why no two fingerprints in the world are alike. Mass producing, when you mass produce anything, they look all alike. But any craftsman here will tell you that when you take your time to make things one after the other, they can never be alike. No matter how hard you try. Is somebody with me? God took his time to make us. What am I saying? Your purpose determined your design. Before we were created, God had an intent. You don't produce a product without a purpose in mind. Are you following me?
Yes,
that no manufacturer produces a product without an intent. Watch this. That intent will determine the design. Will determine the design. So that you are a quiet person, you don't like to talk, is part of the design. Glory to God. That you are someone who talks all the time and you are just everywhere, is part of the design. Are you listening to me? And I'm very serious about this. It's part of what? The design. The problem is understanding how to cultivate and use and operate what God has designed. And guess what? Every time you want to operate a product, look for the manual. Can I get an amen? Or look for interpreters of the manual. That's who preachers are. Glory to God forevermore. Is somebody with me? So when God created you, he had a purpose in mind. He had something in mind. Something you have to contribute to humanity. And it is huge. It's more than paying bills. Man was not created to pay bills. Man was not created to put body and soul together. That's an insult on God's creation. There's something big about you that God wired into you. That is the kingdom of God. Are you getting it now? That is the kingdom of God. He's saying when you seek that kingdom through his word, meaning what your life is about, and God will show you. This is why we say purpose is not created, it's discovered. Why? It was there before you were born. Amen. So when you begin to seek the fulfillment of that kingdom within you, that's what he's saying. He's saying the first thing to look out for is the kingdom I placed on your inside, bringing it out to bless the world. That's the first thing. The first thing is not trying to go to school and graduate and get a job. That's not the first thing. The first thing is not to try to pursue money. He's a man must hammer. I must pursue money. Chasing money is a mistake. Stop looking for money. It's not missing. Oh. When you bring out the kingdom. Hi. When you bring out the kingdom. He says all these things that others are running after will be what? Added. 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 Is somebody here? No, come to think about it. When Joseph became the prime minister, did he go looking for a wife? Did he go looking for money? Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Did he go looking for money? Did he go looking for a house to stay? Did he go looking for fame and honor? He came with the kingdom. The day that kingdom was birthed, and he was called by the king of the people from the prison, and he brought forth that answer of peace. Aye. And he was set to be the ruler over the people. All other things were added, true or false. You know why I'm saying this? When your focus is survival, you can never deliver the kingdom. Watch this. Watch this. And you agree with me. If all that Joseph was looking for was having a cool life, some money to spend, some comfort, a nice place, you would have ended up in Potiphar's house. Ah. I mean, he was the master over Potiphar's house. You now see, every time you are survival conscious, you are likely to compromise to maintain the status quo. Because fear will rule you. And you want to hold on to the little. Ah, Potiphar's house, I'm in charge here. Let me do whatever this woman wants to. I'm in charge here. I'm here. She's even there. Are you following me? But when you know that the dream is big, when you know that the vision is not about survival, it's birthing the kingdom. Oh God, I'm preaching this morning. Hey, you will not stop in Potiphar's house. No, you will not stop in Potiphar's house. You won't settle for the little. You will throw caution out the window. You go all out to better kingdom. Everything will be added. Everything will be added. No, come to think about it. There's a man called Strive Masiwa. How many of you know Strive Masiwa? How many of you know Strive Masiwa? If you are not following him on Facebook, go and like his page on Facebook, on Instagram, on any book, anything. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? That man is a model of a believer in the marketplace. Oh, you know, he's the tongue-talking, demon-chasing, gospel-preaching believer. He's a false bilonialist. Amen. He's the only African Christian on false bilonialist. He's from Zimbabwe. He's the founder of Econet, Kwese TV, Liquid Telecom. Amen. All right. Now, come to think about it. How could Strive Masiyua be in court for 5 years? He was in his 30s. A young man with a very bright future. Taking Mugabe's government to constitutional court just to win a case to start a telecom company. Can't he just go back to the UK and find his way? They locked him up many times. Oh, there's something about this dream. It's not, I have a dream. No, I have a dream. No. It will hook you. You will refuse to take the easy way out. You will stand against all odds to see that the kingdom comes out. No, how can you actually? 5 years of his life. He said yes, he felt discouraged. He felt behind. He brought the idea. His vision was simple. He wanted to change the way Africans communicate. And he was the first African, first to think of telecoms. At the time he came, most telecommunication business were run by the government globally, except the United States. So it wasn't because there was a country that had telecommunication privatized in 92, 93. But there's something about the kingdom within you. There's something about the kingdom within you. Then only 10% of Africans had access to telephone. I know what telephone means. Grr, grr, you know that one? Or later that. And then you have a card. I used to have a card for public line. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. God help you if you call a babe and the mother picks. And they just hang you like that. Glory to God. Some of you don't even know the line. You don't know the card I'm talking about. How many of you ever had Nitel card? Sorry. Nitel card. Okay, great. Lovely. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't have anything to lose. He had degree. He had opportunities in UK. To just run back. So why stay in Africa for 5 years and be dealing with court issues when you can find your way to Europe, back to where you school? The kingdom within. When you see yourself bending because of pressure, you have not seen the dream, or you have not seen the vision. When you see, you take a stand. Wait, do you know what it means to take Mugabe to court? Robert Mugabe. In Zimbabwe, in the 90s, go and find out who he was. Took the country to constitutional court. And guess what? He won the case after 5 years. At the time he won the case, he didn't have any money to start the company. Imagine going public when you have not started the company. Supernatural. He went public. And he got money. As he was getting the money, they sent him out of Zimbabwe. He was running the company from South Africa. I'm talking about the odds you can fight when you receive a vision from God. Yours may be in the area of social works, medicine, education, whatever it is. You will confront mountains. But proof that you are ready to birth the kingdom is you will stand your ground. Oh, hallelujah. You will stand your ground until the kingdom comes out. You're not just bend and check it out. Sent him out of Zimbabwe. He started a company and he had to leave. Thank God for trusted people who were there to run it for him. Currently, the one in Zimbabwe alone is worth over $3 billion. Zimbabwe, I think Zimbabwe and South Africa together, the eco debt Zimbabwe is worth over $3 billion. Hallelujah. Is the Lord talking to someone? Seeing beyond, seeing something that is bigger than you. This is where real satisfaction comes from. You must see bigger, something that is bigger than you. The reason why people do side talk, these small things that people do. Listen, when your mind is small, you will live small. Let your mind be big. Listen, those who have these big pictures don't have time for offense. They don't have time to be offended. They don't have time to walk in strife, in bitterness. They don't have time to be tale-bearers. You are busy. Busy sorting out things. Busy learning. Busy studying, researching how to move to the next level. How to do the next big thing with your life. Let me tell you, this is important. To say, I have a big dream. I have a big dream will impact life. That's big. That's all I'm talking about. His sister asked a guy that was asking her out. She said, so what's your life about? What are you going to do? Of course, the guy knew he was a church girl. She was a church girl. He said, yeah, we impact life. So she should have asked him, with the aid of a simple diagram, explain. Explain how you impact life. Come on, that's not what I'm talking about. It will hook you. People know you for 2 days. They'll know you about something. Oh, no, 2 days is too long. When you jam me in 10 minutes, you know I'm about something. You can feel it in my breath. You can feel it in talking. And God help you, you see me pray. You can see it in the way I pray. Pray like something is at stake. Yes. The kingdom within is at stake. Oh, is somebody here? When you carry this thing, nobody will beg you to fast and pray. Eh? Nobody will beg you to fast and pray. Why Christians struggle with prayer life? No vision. Listen, real discipline is from within. The way to discipline the people is by giving them pictures. Have you ever thought about it? Abraham did not have the Ten Commandments. How come he was disciplined? There was a vision before him. Isaac did not have the Ten Commandments. Jacob did not have the Ten Commandments. Joseph did not have the Ten Commandments. How come they were disciplined? Since people are now saying you give people commandments, so like, no. You give people vision. Vision will discipline them. Real discipline comes the day you get a dream from God. The day you are serious about the dream God shows you and gives you, discipline becomes automated. I say that again. The day you become passionate about the dream that God has given you, or you get a dream from God, discipline is automated. Discipline. In fact, even natural observation has shown us that social order comes from inner persuasion, not external force. That's the definition of civilization. Now, what do you think? Civilization doesn't come by people being forced externally. No, inner persuasions. This is why you go to certain countries, the traffic light may be off, and you see from this road, 4 cars will pass, the 5th guy will stop. 4 cars will pass, the 5th guy will stop. These others are 4 cars, these others are 4 cars will pass, and then this guy will start passing. Nobody told them to do it. Inner persuasion. Inner persuasion. They grew up with a vision of a society they should live in. Africa, we are the hope. Oh. Grew up, listen, the physical structures you see in developed countries are a product of mental structures. If the mental structures are not there, you can't maintain the physical structures. You now see the problem of Africa. We can copy and bring engineers and give them oil money to build skyscrapers. Are we maintaining them? The mental structures have to be there. Mental structures. We can't maintain street lights. How many street lights that are less than 10 years are working? Is somebody here? Inner persuasion. Give a people a vision and they'll be disciplined. God knows how he works. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know somebody is blessed already. I know somebody is blessed already. Hallelujah. May God give you dreams and visions from heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus. Visions and dreams that will bother you night and day in the name of the Lord Jesus. May God open your eyes to see his vision for you. May God enlarge and broaden your vision. May God implant and impress in your soul dreams from heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dreams that will keep you up at night. Dreams that will drive you to pray. That will drive you to study. That will make you disciplined. Dreams and visions that will be a blessing to our society. A blessing to our nation. A blessing to the body of Christ. A blessing to the gospel. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Never forget, those who are driven by this vision and dream from God will always be more successful than those who are driven by survival. Hallelujah. Can you lift your right hand with me and make this confession? You say, Father, can you lift your right hand with me? Everyone all over this building in the overflow, lift your right hand with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I am committed to live your dream. In the name of Jesus, I receive dreams and visions from heaven for my life. And I live it. In the name of Jesus, I see bigger than me. I see bigger than me. I see bigger than me. And I see something bigger than my now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in this service this morning, I receive fresh grace, fresh impartation to pursue your vision for my life. In the name of Jesus, no slothfulness, no lukewarmness, no smallness, no empty ambitions. Pursue vision from heaven. In the name of Jesus, can you turn that to a prayer this morning? Can you turn that to a prayer in the next 1-2 minutes? Mango bara so shepura bara la baya. Liga bala tom zebrendo susha. Shepetom bretila kom sebatala la baya. Shebelom graso shepala liga. Sobala dom de sishtepa. Sheko prakom skeba. Lika pora bara la la baya. Ika pora bosh kapa, shepola tonda kibala, sogapala tombra toskepa, shepola te brandoskipa, shepola donda kibala kapaya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you are here this morning and you can pray in other tongues. Amen. If you cannot pray in that language, don't leave the service without it. After the service, you can go to the overflow and meet any of the ministers that will be welcoming the guests to pray for you to start speaking in tongues. In the next 2 minutes, we are going to speak in other tongues. Now, listen to me. The Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, right? Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. 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 We're going to release mysteries this morning in 2 minutes. Mysteries for the month of March. Mysteries for March. And in your heart, I want you to pull that Psalm 102 verse 13 before your eyes. It said, thou will arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is now. The set time is come. I want you to join your hand with, just find a neighbor, one neighbor,
and pray in the spirit. Pray fervently in the spirit. And after the 2 minutes of praying in the spirit, you start declaring this word one more time. And speak words into your mouth.
Oh, for the set time to favor her. The set time to favor glories on you.
The set time to favor glories on. To favor us. Yeah, the set time is come.
Hallelujah.
The time for favor.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we are praying. Hallelujah. You are going to pray for your family. Listen, God is a God of families. You are going to pray for your family from the depth of your heart. Both your immediate family, maybe you just got married, that's a new family. But plus the family you came from before you got married. Amen. So you pray for your immediate family and pray for your parents, siblings. That's what I mean. And anyone that falls into the family thing, you understand? We are going to pray from the depth. Listen, this is a family communion service. And one of the things that is happening in this service is empowerment of families. Hallelujah. Listen, God is a God of families. Satan also attacks families. Who understands what I'm saying? Satan attacks families. You are going to pray. You are going to raise your voice toward heaven in this service. And you will pray saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, my family is consecrated to you. And I declare seasons of favor, seasons of supernatural promotion for my family, immediate and extended. Hey, my wife and children are blessed. My husband and children are blessed. Come on, pray. My parents are blessed. My siblings are blessed. Supernatural favor. Lord, I declare seasons of favor for my household. Seasons of favor.
I announce a new season for every family represented in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. for every family represented here, I herald a new season of favor. In the name of Jesus, Jehovah has risen and he showed your family favor. For the set type to favor you is now. In the name of Jesus, I declare that monies that your family has never seen before, from this service you begin to see. I say monies that your family has never seen before, from this service you begin to see. In the name of Jesus, I declare favors, blessings, increase upon you and your family. In the name of the Lord Jesus, promotion, a dimension of promotion that no one in your house has seen before, that the entire family has never seen before. I don't know who this was for, but I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, beginning from this week, beginning from this month, beginning from this year, it is yours in the name of Jesus. Just like the Lord visited the house of Abraham, just like the Lord visited the house of Obed-Edom. Listen, brothers and sisters, it doesn't take time. It only takes the presence of God. The Bible says the ark was in Obed-Edom's house for just 6 months. Obed-Edom was so blessed that the king had to hear it. I prophesy to every family standing here, whether you're alone or you came with the remaining part of the family, I prophesy in the name of the Lord Jesus that your household, your family has become the resting place of the blessing. The resting place of the blessing. The resting place of the blessing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is raising helpers for your house. The Lord is raising helpers for your house. Hey, the Lord is raising helpers of destiny for your house. In the name of Jesus. I hear in my heart, people in strategic places and position, the Lord will begin to stir them to speak for your family. The Lord will begin to stir them to speak for your parents, to speak for your husbands, to speak for your family, to speak for your wives, to speak for your children, to speak for the entire family. In the name of Jesus, help us for your house. 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 Watch this. I hear honor, honor, honor from Benue. Honor, the family. I'm hearing honor from Benue. Honor. I don't know who that is. You know anybody call honor? Honor. O-N-A-H-O-N-A. Honor. I saw in the spirit, listen, for a family here, not the honor now. I'm just calling an honor. I just hear honor. Family of honor. I'm hearing honor. I want to pray for the family. The Lord is talking to a few families. And listen, there's a family that has threat of prison. Prison threats of something that has to do with legal imprisonment because of something that happened. Legal imprisonment. I'm seeing a court case and I'm seeing somebody in prison or somebody about... Like a sentence in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I don't care who is right or wrong. I declare the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God, he said, thou will arise and have mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. The mercy of God is speaking for that family. The mercy of God is, help that sister, help that sister. The mercy of God is speaking for that family member. The mercy. The mercy of God is speaking for that family member. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Who is from honor? Who is the honor? Honor family. You came out for honor. You came out. Okay, you came out to help. What about you, ma? Okay, someone... Okay, a legal case, entering prison. Is the person already in prison? Okay, I didn't hear that. Can I get a mic? Could you come forward, please? Okay.
let me hear you.
At the Coca-Cola depot like that.
Okay.
And then his madam that someone broke her house and stole her telly.
Okay.
And she then came and arrested my brother and then she then locked him in the police station. Okay. That was on Wednesday evening.
Okay, okay.
And then on Thursday around that 6-7 they released him.
Okay. Okay. Is the case over?
Did
they take him to court? Have they filed any court thing?
She was threatening us that she's going to take the case to court.
To court. I counsel you. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, you say thou will arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the set time to favor is now. I counsel that case. I pour water on that fire. I pour water on that fire. I command you to die a natural death. Jesus. Jesus. I pray for the entire family, a new season of remembrance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. On, you came out. Take him to court. Lift your hand. I counsel it. In the name of Jesus. I counsel it. In the name of Jesus. There's somebody here. Your father is having a court case. Something like a frame up. I'm seeing a court case. He's not guilty, but I'm seeing a court case. And if nothing is done, he may take him somewhere. I need to pray for you. Your father, specifically, your dad, stand there. What about you? A family, okay? Okay. A family land about to be taken by the state government, okay? Labaka, boy, your family, lift your hands up. I'm a prophet sent from God. We don't live by government verdicts. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Libakotekeposkapa. Shepotokibalakapa. I restore that family land back to your family. I restore that family land. I speak with the authority of heaven. I restore that family land back to your family. In the name of Jesus. Is yours. Who is the person whose father has been taken to court? Yes. And if nothing is done, okay, station.
Yes, CID
police headquarters. CID headquarters. Lift your hands. Mercy. That's what I hear. Come here. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy has prevailed over judgment. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. At the count of three, let the power of God come upon this young man. 1, 2, 3. A new season. Shapates. Likapolatosh. A complete change of story. Complete change of story. Likapolakoskepa. Let the fire of God move.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.